Today is going to be different than it was last week, so we're going to jump into it. I want to go to my start off scripture here, and it's going to be in Proverbs 30, verse 24. And we're just going to read through a couple of them real quick, and then we'll go back and visit. You're not going to understand, or it's not going to make a whole lot of sense at the beginning, but we'll read on through here. It says this: there will be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The coonies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their house in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go forth all of them by bands. And the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. This morning, we're going to take just a minute. We're going to look at four odd things. The kids didn't sing that song by accident this morning. Their song was off of a program called Weird Animals. And we're going to look at some weird animals this morning. And you say, well, Kirk, why are we looking at weird animals? Because the guy that wrote this was a lot smarter than me and a lot smarter than you. The book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon, which is the smartest man that has ever walked on the face of the earth. He wasn't just smart academically. He wasn't just smart book-wise, but the Bible says God gave him wisdom, and he was wiser than any other man. And out of that gift of wisdom that God gave him, the Bible says he was the richest man to ever walk on this planet. He had riches and wealth to the point where even heathen nations were so at awe at him, they would come and lay gifts and finances at his feet. So when you got a guy like this talking to you, you know, it's kind of be smart to perk your ears up and listen. You know, if Warren Buffett were here this morning and he was about to tell me some things about finances in a terminology that I could understand, I would listen. And so here we've got some words from a great wise, the wise, and I love this part about him, anointed. He wasn't just wise, he was an anointed man of God. He was anointed king, and he told us that there are four things that seem very small, but they're very important, and we can gain a lot of wisdom from them. So we're going to take just maybe a lighthearted look, but if you'll listen this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you at a point in this, I believe there's something in here for every one of us. Going into this school year and getting into the schedule and routine parents have to get into with the kids, and you know, usually when kids are out of school, your habits kind of let go. Like last night, me and the girls were fighting mom to let us stay up past 9. But mom's like, we got school in 2 days, so we're going to bed at 9. We've been staying up till 11:30 for the last several months. And so now we're going to try to cram them into a schedule. And these few animals here, I believe, are a pattern or a schedule that God says if we can look at, if we can glean from and figure out maybe they are there's some principles in here that can help us thrive and not just survive during this school year. So we're going to jump right in, and we're going to start off with number one. It says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat for summer. You know, ants are a unique creature, but they have unique abilities that other animals at points don't seem to have, but some do, some don't. But one of their main characteristics is this: ants always have their eye on the future. Anytime you see ants working, they're moving toward tomorrow. Like I say, I was out with the girls the other day and dropped a peppermint on the sidewalk, and there was a line of ants coming across the sidewalk, and there were like a million of them piled up on top of this peppermint, and the girls goes, ooh, they're eating candy. They like candy too. But they were going this way and this way. They weren't just eating that candy. What they were doing was they were getting that candy. And the reason why they were getting that candy is because they know in just a couple months, it's about to get cold. And they know in a couple months, what they can't get out and get then, they better get out and get now. They have eyes for the future. Families this year, you need to get eyes for the future. Knowing what your situations you're in today is not what it's going to always be like. Things tomorrow bring are opportunities and opportunities for greatness. And if you understand that there's a future coming, then you'll prepare yourself. The problem is, a lot of times, we as people and not as ants, we don't see what tomorrow is going to be like. All we can focus is on today. And so something happens or something takes place or we find ourselves in the middle of a tragedy in today and we think it's the end of the world. I've got just a short movie clip that we're going to play real quick to maybe draw this out a little bit better, and then we'll jump back on our pattern. Joe, if you will, play this video for us.
Now stay calm. We are going around the leaf.
Around the leaf? I don't think we can do that.
Oh, nonsense. This is nothing compared to the twig of 93. That's it. That's it. Good. You're doing great. There you go. There you go. Watch my eyes. Don't look away. And here's the line again.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Soil.
Good job, everybody.
Oh, my, there's quite a gap, Mr. Soil. Shouldn't we tell the queen?
Right there. Don't panic, don't panic. Aren't you glad for trained professionals? See, ants, the Bible says, store up for tomorrow. Families that are in here this morning, moms, dads, men, women. What can we learn from the ant? The wisest man on the earth said this. Look at the ant. Why? Because they know how to look at the future. Here in this clip, it's funny. It's humorative. When I was youth pastor, I teach out this one thousands of times. This may be great stories all the way through it, but this is a great point on this. Here they were going where they thought they were going, in the direction they thought they were supposed to be getting in, doing what they knew they were supposed to be doing, and out of nowhere, suddenly, here comes a leaf, and it landed right in front of them. Tragedy hits, and one of them begins to freak out. Now, if I were to pick myself in this crowd or in this group, I would have picked myself as being the one that freaks out and panics, because you don't know how many times the enemy has thrown a leaf in my plans. And the first reaction out of me is a panic. Most of the time, most of us, when we go to the mailbox and we open up the mailbox and we get a bill out of the mailbox and it's the bill is bigger than what we have in our bank account, I want you to understand that's a leaf. Most of us, when we wake up in the morning, we got a sore throat filling away, and the enemy comes and tells us, oh no, that's cancer. And all of a sudden, we go to a doctor, and a doctor gives us a report, and we don't like the report. We panic because that's a leaf. Some of us, we're in relationships, and the relationships break, or something happens at work, or I don't know what circumstances the enemy throws at you, but I want to draw it into perspective this morning. You're an ant. Look at yourself as an ant. There's a direction God has got your life going in. There's a plan laid out before you. And if you keep your eye on the future and you're going toward what God has called you, there's purpose to your life. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, or when the enemy throws a stick, a leaf, a twig in your way, the first thing is you don't have to panic. You may be here facing this morning situations or circumstances, legal battles. You may be facing divorce situations. You may be facing sickness, health, disease. You may be facing a leaf today. I'm not a trained professional, but I know some. I want to tell you what they've told me. Proverbs 3, 4, and 5, 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't got to trust in that feeling, that emotion, that fear, that panic that you're going through. I have found myself in that feeling a million times. That fright, that feel, that physical thing that comes with the leaf landing in my way. But I'm here to tell you just same thing as that trained professional just told you. Don't panic, don't panic. You're not stuck in this situation that you're in. You may be standing behind this thing and you don't know how to get from where you are to back where you know you're supposed to be. But I'm here to tell you this. There is a way around your leaf. And I don't know if you're going to go around your leaf, you're going to go over your leaf, you're going to go under your leaf, or you're going to go through your leaf. But I can tell you this. You're not going to go through it alone. God has a way around, through, in, and out of your situation that you're facing. So Solomon said, be wise. Be like the ant. Keep your eye on the future. I love what that ant said right there. He said, do you remember the twig of 1983? I love how he said that. He put it all back into perspective. Because this is what he was saying. He was saying this. That leaf you're staring at right now has nothing compared to the giant that David stood behind. Or has nothing to do, or is nothing compared to the lions that Daniel stared down the night before he came out of the pit and became into the palace. That thing that you're facing is nothing. You may be looking at a situation and your little baby's laying dead. Jairus was right there. And it was this what you're dealing is nothing, because Jesus was able to do it then. He's going to be able to do it now. You've got to put it into perspective. He said, this twig is nothing compared to the one of 83. There's always been somebody that's gone through worse than what you're going through. And if you'll look back, you can see that God got them through it too. And if God can get them through it, God's going to get you through it. So keep your eyes on him. You remember what the trained professional said? He said, keep your eyes on me. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on me. You have to look at tomorrow. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're good. They're not evil. They're to give you a future and a hope. And if you will keep your eyes on the trained professional, the one that has been through it all, you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes in the Word. You won't even realize it. And that leaf that you were stuck behind today, you'll look up one day and you'll be on the other side, headed back down the same road that you were going down. You got to understand. Look at what the ants have done. Keep your eyes on tomorrow. And the next principle is this. They didn't do it alone. You never find one ant. Don't do it by yourself. You belong in a family. There's a colony here. And you belong in this colony. Don't do it alone. For time, we need to go to the next one. First, he said, look at the ant. Next, he said this. He said, the coonies are but feeble folk, yet make their house in the rocks. Now, most everybody I've ever met, and I didn't know either until I looked it up and Googled it and all of that, was, what is a coonie? Well, Joe's got a picture of a coonie for us. Coonie is a mix between a rabbit and a rat. Now, the thing about a coonie is this. They have no real defenses. They don't have big claws. They don't have big teeth. As a matter of fact, the Bible actually says this. The Bible says they are feeble folk. And so you look at them and you think, well, how in the world does this thing survive? They're not very fast. Their bodies aren't built for speed. You know, there are all other kind of animals in nature that got built with great defenses. And, you know what I'm saying? A skunk has probably the best one ever. This don't have that repellent. I mean, but this animal has no defense. So how does it survive? It says, but they are but a feeble folk. It's just like us. We're feeble folk. And the truth is, we don't have any defenses either. So how do we survive? The Bible says here that King Solomon said the coonies are but a feeble folk. They hide themselves in the rock. Joe, go to the way coonies survive, and not just survive, and they thrive. Their populations grow in large numbers. And if you're not careful and you get coonies in your area, they can overpopulate, because they are smart enough that when they build their homes or they build their burrows, they build them in a place of safety, where it's hard for other predators to get to them. It says they hide themselves in the rock. Another picture goes here. Go to the next one. They multiply fast. And they can overrun and take over. And the reason they have that ability to do that, although they aren't the strongest, they aren't the mightiest. It's because they have the smarts about them to build their homes in the rocks. The Bible says this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower the righteous run into, and they are saved. The Bible says this. The Bible says that we're like doves that hide ourselves in the cleft of the rock. I want you to know something. We live in a world, especially nowadays with technology and circumstances and situations, that the enemy has ways and wiles and has weapons that no other generation or no other people have ever faced before. For parents, there are things that are after your kids nowadays that 50 years ago we never would have dreamed would have been after our kids then. 50 years ago, we never would have dreamed there would be doorways open into our homes for predators to go after our kids. Nowadays, with the internets and social medias, there are doors and all that. And you say, Cricket, are you anti all that? No, I'm not. I'm glad for technology. Man, I'm so glad for technology. I'm glad I was not born in the Stone Age. But I also know this, that the enemy will use whatever weapon he can use. And the Bible says he gets up every day with a plan to steal, kill, and destroy me and my family and the destiny that God has for us. So how do I protect them? I have to become a Cooney. I have to understand that the only safety that I'm going to have is in the rock. The only defense, the only protection that I have is going to be hiding myself in the rock. The Bible says it like this. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. As you read on down, it says he gives his angels charge around about me to keep me in all my ways. Lest I dash my foot against a stone. I can tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. Can I trample under my feet? No evil will befall me, nor any plague come near my dwelling, because he is my God. He will protect me. And you've got to understand, you can live life if you want to out there, but you're going to be just wide open to the predators and the prey. But if you will make the decision that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I may not control everything going on outside of there, but one thing I can control is that I'm going to keep my family hidden in a relationship with God. I'm going to make sure that they stay safe. I'm going to make sure, God, I'm going to put it all in your hands. That coon, he climbs up in that rock, and when he gets up in that rock, he don't have to worry about what's going to follow him. That rock has to worry about what's coming above him. When you put your family in a place where it can have a relationship with Jesus, and you make sure that is your number one priority. You say, well, Cricket, how do I do that? Let me give you some practical ways. One, you make the house of God a part of your house. You say, what is that? Say, do you know there are families that actually never even open a Bible or speak about God or read scriptures at their home? There's a Bible story in the Bible that says this, that says Obadiah, he was a man and he had a family, and there was a time that the Ark of the Covenant couldn't go into the temple, and so they had to put it in a house, and it says he put it in his house, and while he put it in his house, it says his house began to be blessed. Now, there are two people in the Bible that had 70 grandkids. Jezebel and her husband, the Bible says, had 70 kids and grandkids. And every one of them were killed or beheaded or destroyed. But Obadiah is another one. The only other person in the Bible that the Bible had 70 kids and 70 grandkids. And it says every one of them succeeded and were blessed and prospered greatly. And every one of them, when you read on through their lineage, worked in the house of God or worked for the Lord in some manner. What was the difference in the two? The difference was this. Obadiah understood that the ark of God wasn't something, or the relationship with God wasn't something he went to. It was something he took with him, and he allowed it to be a place in his home, and his house prospered, and his house was blessed. So how do you get in the rock? You bring the rock into your house. You make sure that God has a place. You make sure that you pray with your kids and you talk with your kids and you read the Bible with your kids. You make sure when your kids are sick that they understand we're going to call the doctor, but the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to pray. And if God wants to use a doctor to heal you, that's great. If God wants to use the anointing to heal you, that's great. But my house, as for me and my house, we must make the choice we're going to serve the Lord. And then we don't have to worry about what the world will bring to us. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard. We have to become coonies. We have to understand that, man, we live in a dangerous world, in a dangerous place. I'm telling you, do you know the shooter that shot in Orlando a few weeks ago? Do you realize that just 3 weeks before he shot at that nightclub, he had visited Disney World? Went to Disney World and found the only entrance at Disney World that did not do a bag check. And as they talked to his wife and interrogated, they said interviewed, but I'm sure it was more of an interrogation, his plans, that it came down to the last day that he went to the Pulse nightclub instead of going to Disney World. He had already found his way in. He had already made his way plan. And the happiest and supposedly one of the safest places on this planet you to take your kids to was going to be the biggest massacre seen in the United States. You don't think the devil can find a way into your house? Let me ask you this. When things get dry and hot out there, how many guys, no matter how nice of a house you live in, you find one of them big old water bugs somewhere? Telling you, the enemy will find a way to get into your house. He will do it. And you say, well, Cricket, I got a parental guardian on my internet, or Cricket, we got a parental block on our TV. Great. Man, we encourage every bit of that. But I'm here to tell you this. You better make sure you got more than parental guards. You better put the rock, and you better put the rock, and you better get in that rock. Your kids better understand that Jesus is the thing that's going to protect us, take care of us. You better apply the blood of Jesus over your kids every single day. You better apply the blood of Jesus over every one of your possessions. I'm telling you, we're to be like a coonie. So whatever extremes you think you need to take to get Jesus in the relationship, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning is not crazy to somebody that knows that their family's in danger. You know, one out of every two marriages right now go into divorce. That would be like this. That would be like you heard there was a wild bear roaming the streets of El Dorado and killing kids, and you just sent your kids out to stand on the corner to get on the bus and not worry about it. I'm telling you, if that were, we would be standing on the corner, I'd have a shotgun, I'd be standing above my children, because just in case he's in my block that day, we're going to take care of it. You get your family and you say, well, Craig, how to, one devotion to prayer at home. Let the kids see you living for God outside of church instead of inside of church. Be like a coonie. Be wise. All right. Next thing is, get your kids in church. It says they run into the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and they are saved. Get your kids in church. You keep them in church. You know, Moses' mother understood the power of protection. Because when the enemy was out to kill every single one of her kids, she determined, I'm not going to let them kill mine. And she hid the kid at home. But there comes a place where home is not enough. Do you understand? She hid that baby at home, the Bible says, for 2 years. And there came a place where home was not enough. So what she did then was she built a basket. And she put that baby in that basket. And when she put that baby in that basket, she didn't just put the basket in the river then like we think she did. The Bible says she covered that basket with pitch. And see, some people think that pitch was just to make that basket waterproof. That pitch served two purposes. The first purpose was, yes, it made the basket waterproof. But you got to know something about wood. Wood floats anyway. It was going to float anyway. So there was more than just the purpose of pitch to make the basket float. You got to understand what she was putting the baby in. She was putting the baby in the River Nile, and it's full of crocodiles. And pitch is like a tar, petroleum-based oil. And as she rubbed it on that basket, she knew, me putting this fragrance and me putting this smell on this basket is going to turn them predators away before they ever get a chance to get to my baby. I'm telling you. Why is the church and the body of Christ, your relationship, so important? Because it puts pitch over your children. You can hide them at home for a certain amount of time. But I'm telling you, their friends, their music, TV shows, all this has a way of getting in home. So what you've got to do is you've got to learn how to put pitch on your basket. What is pitch on your basket? Pitch on your basket is you praying over those kids. You getting in the Word and getting the promises over those kids. You getting into a place where you have faith over those kids. It puts pitch on that basket to where it repels the enemy. You get your kids in a rock. You keep them in a rock. You let them understand. Let's go to the next because we got to hurry. Next one was locusts. said that the locusts, actually, let me read it to you again. We've gotten a little bit from it. So it says, in verse 27, it says, the locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. Now, in Bible days, to farmers and to producers, there were two things they were usually afraid of when they were going to raise harvest. One, they were afraid of drought, because drought could keep a flock from being produced. But the second thing they were afraid of locusts. Because locusts have such an insatiable appetite that when one gets on your crop, it's a point to be concerned. But the thing about it here in the Bible says they don't travel by ones. They travel by bands. Go to that next picture for me. And there's been history recorded that there have been such large bands or large groups of locusts that it would appear the sun had blacked out when they fly over. Then the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression, swarms and swarms of locusts would land on crops that they could get to grow, and they'd be decimated in a day. Now, God said that look at the locust. You're like a locust. What you need to get is an insatiable appetite that where you are and what you have and what you're going through is not enough. Because I'm here to tell you this. God has more for you than you have right now. Your future is greater than what you've done up to this point. The scripture says it like this. It says your ladder will be greater than before. One of the greatest tools the enemy uses against families and against churches is this. Satisfaction. You've had enough. We're doing okay. Mediocrity. I want you to understand, you were never born for mediocrity. You were born for a coach. Stephen, you're a coach. Has a 5-5 season ever been enough for a coach? Absolutely not. Y'all hit that court every game for a win. What we've got to do is understand, you've got to get the mentality of victory in your life. The Bible says he has made you more than a conqueror. Meaning this, that just winning shouldn't be enough for you. Just being saved should not be enough for you. You just getting by should not be enough for you. There should be a more factor involved in your life because God wants more for you. So you should understand that if God wants more for me, there's no way I'm not going to go after it. Well, how stupid would I be if it was more available, but I didn't want it? That would be a tool. I'm telling you, God wants to use you more. God wants to give you more. God wants to bless you more. God wants to empower you more. God wants more for you. That's why he's made you more than a conqueror. And what you've got to determine is this. I've got to get hungry. The Bible says this. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, you just got to get to where you want to eat more than what you have right now. Get hungry. Get hungry. And then you got to realize this. The way you get more, or the way, once you get the appetite, what you understand is that by banding yourself together makes you more powerful. Said the locust. Said, do you know when you watch the National Geographic Wild and you notice the all the animals that get eaten? They're the ones that are by themselves. Me and Jennifer were watching one the other night. I can't even remember what we were watching. And it was these African men, and they were running down this deer-looking thing with these long points. I can't even remember the name of him. Long pointy. And I couldn't understand, you know, their practice of running it down, because they would run, and the animal would be there, and they just started running after them. Running after them. And they ran and they ran. For 4 days, they ran. It was the neatest little story because ever so often on their journey, they would stop and dig up an ostrich egg that they had strategically hidden for this hunt and drink the water out of it. And they would put that ostrich egg back in there and they'd keep on running. And what they did was they outran that animal. Because, see, they had planned to run and go to where they knew that thing could only run and go for so long. But they were going to outrun it. And they understood this, that they were going to run it together, because they said they have to do it in a pack. They have to do it together, because if just one man was running, something psychologically or mentally in him, one man couldn't outrun the animal for the days of the journey that it took, because he would get to a point where he gave up. So they would put a group of them together. And because one could encourage the other and the other one would the same, they would run this animal down, would able to feed their whole little village because they would hunt in packs. The principle of the pack hunt is the wolf. One wolf is easy to get away. You can't get away from a pack of wolves. And this is how the locusts feed. They don't travel alone. Because one locust is easy to squish. But when a swarm of locusts comes in, they can devastate a nation's agriculture in just one season. You are called to be a part of a body. You're never meant to do this alone. The Bible says that you are a part of the body of Christ, and every single member is important. Every single member is valuable. Every single member has a part to play. And when you understand that I am more powerful with the body than I would be alone, then you'll understand that God wants to use you to do great things. And when you bind yourself with the body, or you put yourself in the herd, or you join in the band, or you, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the band of the church. Peter said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The power, the process of the church is when you belong to a church, we've talked about this as a principle I have. You'll go through hell and high water, and hell and high water will kill you and destroy you unless you're connected to something bigger than you, which is the body of Christ. And when you're connected with the body, it doesn't mean the enemy won't come against you, but it does mean the enemy will not win. You say, how can that be, Cricket? I have no idea, but I got to be honest with you. Got to be honest with you. Even the battles that we went through, if I wouldn't have been in a church, I would have lost. If the battles, I've never seen people walk through the battles they go through and not come out victorious if they didn't stay connected to the church. I've seen a lot of people, when the enemy hits them, they pull out of the church. And I'm telling you, they're just free game. The lion is waiting to pounce on the one that left the herd. There's power in numbers. The way the buffalo, you know, the buffalo, the way they protect their young is when they all travel in a herd, and when the prey gets after them, they all turn themselves back to back and they back themselves into a circle. They put their young in the middle and they back in so tight that it says it's bone crushing. And they all face their heads out to where wolves, lions, any predator can't get through. And even if one gets weak, he don't have to worry. They're in there so tight that he can't fall. I'm telling you. When you get the process and the understanding of a locust, and you determine, you know what? I'm going to get in that church so tight. I'm going to become such a part that God begins to use you as a wall to protect others. But also, when you get weak, the others use there to stand up and hold you tight. You've got to be the mindset of a locust and understand, you can't do it by yourself. You better get in church and you better become a part. Jump on to the last one, the spider. We've got just a couple minutes. Lastly, he said, be wise and look at the spider. So the spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. You know, spiders are very unique creatures. They have the ability to produce a web out of everything that they have on the inside of them. And that web serves as many purposes. It's a home. It's a protectant. It catches predators. It provides for his family. And it was all on the inside of him in the first place. I'm here to tell you this. The Bible said there, Solomon said, you know, there are some things that seem small, but they're wise. You have everything on the inside of you to make something amazing. You have everything on the inside of you to accomplish everything that God's put you on this earth to put. But see, usually when we look in the mirror, we see weakness, we see failure, we see mistakes. We think, you know, if God would have made me like him, or God would have done this for me. I want you to understand, you have the potential on the inside of you to do things that nothing else or no one else can do. And you are exactly the way God wanted you to be. He said this, you are wonderfully and beautifully created. He's made you with abilities that nothing, no one or nothing else has. So are you different? Yes. Spiders are one of the ugliest to me creatures there are. But what they have in them is one of the greatest abilities of all creatures there are. Now, what the spider web, he don't just produce a web. The way he produces webs is a unique way of producing webs, because he can produce different kinds of webs, different kinds of proteins and different kinds of toxins. Because, see, when it comes to laying an egg sac, a spider can, when it lays its egg sac, it wraps its egg sac in a different kind of a web that, one, protects, that predators will not mess with, and that it protects and does it in a certain way that its eggs stay safe to temperature and rain and all that. And then it uses a different kind of web to weave its net. Its different kind of net is made to attract and to catch prey and food and those kind of things. I'm saying, you say like this, it's your, so you have what it's on, what it takes on the inside of you for you to protect your children. God gave your children to you. He didn't give them to me. He gave my children to me. And the reason why he gave my children to me is because he knew what I have on the inside of me will help them, if I am surrendered to God, grow into and protect them in a way that no one else could, and in the only way they can be accomplish the will of God. I say this 100 times, and I've talked to Stacy about it a bunch. JoJo's from Russia. They adopted him from Russia. And I, when I see you, JoJo, I think of it like this. See, Moses was born into a home that was not going to protect or accomplish the vision or the destiny of God for Moses' life. So what God did was had circumstances take Moses out of the home that he was born into and put him into a home that was going to flourish him and cause him to be able to accomplish the will of God for his life. I'm here to tell you this. If you've adopted children or you've been adopted, the hand of God was in your life, because it puts you into a place for the destiny of God to be accomplished. Spiders know how to weave a web that protects their young. God gave you your children and put a responsibility on your head for you to protect your young. And he put the ability on the inside of you for you to be able to do it. As you act like a coonie and you act like a locust and you act like an ant, you're protecting and you're building a cocoon for those kids to survive and thrive in. To where when the day comes when they're to hatch out of that egg, they will have everything inside of them they need to go on. God has called us to be spiders. Now, not only do spiders have the ability to do webs, but spiders can be very venomous. When a spider bites somebody, it hurts. Now, they're not supposed to go around being killer machines. They have that for a protective and a defense mechanism. Since you're like a spider, I want you to understand, your mouth has the ability to be a weapon. Now, you can decide what you want that mouth to be. You can walk around with that mouth spitting venom on everything you can spit it on, and I'm here to tell you, it won't be long before you get squished. Or you can use that mouth the way it was meant to be used, with the venom you were given to use, and which is the Word of God. And when the enemy comes in to try to do something, you take your mouth and you use it as a weapon. You spit the Word of God back in the devil's face. When he says you're a loser, you say, I'm a winner. I'm the head, I'm the tail. When the devil spits at you and says, you know what, you're going to fail, you spit back, I'm more than a conqueror. The devil spits at you, you're not going to be able to pay me. My God shall supply all my needs. You use your mouth the way God intended your mouth to be used, and you will be wise, and you will be a success, and you will be great. Which the next part of this is this. It's that scripture said, it says that they find themselves in king's palaces. When you choose to look upon the attributes of a spider and you decide, you know, I can be wise if I will do what Solomon was talking about doing, it releases unlimitless potential in your life. It says that these things that nobody wants even find themselves in king's palaces. Look through the Bible and see all the people that were outcast, unwanted, no ability or no potential in them at all. And every one of them find themselves in a palace at some point. I'm telling you, God's plan and destiny for you is for you to be in a palace. She said, Cricket, I'm a long way from there. Joseph was a long way from there. David was a long way from there. Daniel was a long way from there. The list goes on and on and on. And my favorite one was Jesus was a long way from there when he was born in that stable. But he is sitting in a palace today. And the thing about the palace he's sitting in today says he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And the reason why he's there, he's sitting there to go be unleashed and unloosed on your behalf. So the thing about it is you have the potential, no matter where you come from, no matter how, you know, some of the most deadly spiders are the smallest spiders. Some of the most deadly spiders are the ugliest spiders. Some of the most deadly spiders are the ones that you never see coming. You know, you see people with these big old spider bites and you say, where did you, I got that thing bit me at night. Some of the most deadly spiders are the most potential when things are dark. I want you to understand something. You're a deadly spider if you allow God to use you the way you were intended to be used. And things may be dark tonight, but that's when you're the deadliest. I'm telling you, things may be tough. You may be little and significant, but God put dynamite in small packages. And what he's called you to do, he's called you not to just get by. He's called you to be victorious. I have made you more than a conqueror. He has called you to be something great. So I want to put a challenge before you this year. Going into this school year, man, raise your house like the wisest man in the world raised his. Take the advice from somebody smarter than you. That's not me. We're reading it out of Solomon's book. And he said this. He said, look at things that are very small. But understand this, they're wise. And the potential in these four weird animals we talked about this morning, if you'll take the attributes of them like Solomon was talking about, I'm telling you, your life will change this year. Everybody ready for change? I'm telling you, I'm so ready for some things to change in our life. And I'm ready for things. So I want to put before you in your time before the Lord this week. You pray and ask God, God, what are five things you want me to change? But here are, make a list of five things you want God to change. And I'm telling you, I believe we're going into a season right now of change. And we're going to see them. But we've got to be wise. And wise are ants. They don't get stuck today. They're always working for tomorrow. They don't get, they're like locusts. They don't do it by themselves. They're coonies. They build their relationship with God. And then they're like spiders. They allow themselves to be used mightily as a weapon. And they don't just have to be a victim anymore. Are we going to do it? Can we make that commitment? Let me pray over us going into this week. Father God, I pray right now that you would put the spirit of wisdom on each and every person in here. Your word says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. I come before you right now, God, and I ask for wisdom for every family and every person represented in this place this morning. I ask you give moms and dads wisdom going into this school year. We're about to send our kids into the biggest mission field on this planet, and that is the school systems in America. The enemy has set up traps, snares, and set up pitfalls for our kids to be affected by this world and stop the destiny of God on their lives. And we make the stand today. We say, devil, you can't have them. And we're going to stand up for them. And you're going to have to go through me to get to them. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray for wisdom over every mom and dad. You let us see the traps of the enemy. And we break and bind every trap that he set. We pray over every right relationship over every one of our kids in these schools this year. I pray over every right relationship over every husband and every wife and every man and every woman and every teenager and every child in this body right now. I ask you to give us wisdom. I pray for divine appointments. I thank you, Father God, that you're putting the right people at the right place for the right purpose. I pray, Father God, right now that around them, you're putting your angels and giving them charge around about us to keep us in all of our ways. I pray right now, Father God, that you are causing divine appointments and you're giving them the right friends that will nourish and will help them grow in the knowledge of you during this school year. The school will not put in them more than we can take out. They will put more into that school and they will be a light for your kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus.